That good singing, how about a good hearty amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord for good singing, such a blessing to us, and I'm sure glad to be here today. Wish I had a little chance to spend with Brother Angel, Miss Angel a little bit, but you'll have to tell them hi for me, all right? And it is so good to be here. I want to say thank you for your faithful and generous support to Kim and I and the ministry. We appreciate it so very much, and we're just very, very blessed people. We thank the Lord for it so much. I hope that you'll go by the table after the service tonight and take a look at some of the things that we have on the table. I think they'll be a blessing to you. And just a couple of things. There's some sample tracts that I'd love for you to pick up some and read them. I've tried to make it a practice on every tract that I pass out. I will take the time to read it. And I've got a tract on salvation that I wrote entitled Salvation. Have you made your reservation? It's a very track. It's designed for a Christian to show somebody how to be saved. It's got little boxes you can check as you're going through it. And I think it does a good job at laying out the gospel. Then I have a track on baptism. And once again, this track was written for a Sunday school teacher or a bus captain to go into a home as like follow-up. And to show a parent why they need to let their child be baptized, but also the track is designed to show somebody how to be saved. So it's written in that format there. And then Brother Matthews, my boyhood pastor from Mesquite, Texas, wrote a track entitled "Where Are Bonnie and Clyde?" And just it's about 6 months or so ago, they had all these documentaries going on. So this track is probably more likely to be received now because of that. And Brother Matthews had the privilege to lead Clyde's brother to the Lord. His name was L.C. Borrow. And he tells a story about it in this little track here. And then he gives the plan of salvation. It's a real neat tract. A lot of folks will read something like this, and they won't really read anything else, but they're interested because of the notorious bank robbers. And there's a poem in there that Bonnie wrote that kind of lets you know that she knew that she was on the wrong side of the law, and it just really, she just knew where sin was going to lead her to. Pretty neat track. I've got some samples back there. And pick up one of my prayer cards and remember us in prayer. Of course, we have the privilege to have a radio station there in North Central West Virginia, WVGV. Stands for West Virginia's Gospel Voice. I don't know about you, but boy, I just absolutely love radio. It is the missionary that never sleeps. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we are out there broadcasting the good news that Jesus saves, some good sound Bible preaching and teaching, good Christ-honoring music, and it's good to hear that the orchestra up there. I saw several fiddles up there. I'm sorry, violins. I forgot I'm in Illinois. And just sounded so nice. And really, we just enjoy it. Just recently, we had the opportunity to purchase another translator station in Clarksburg, West Virginia, about 30 miles east of us. Our station on 89.7 reaches Clarksburg, but it doesn't literally blanket it. And that is from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, all the way down to Clarksburg, West Virginia. It's called the High Tech Corridor. And there are all kinds of biometric businesses that have come into play there. There's a big FBI center. The National Center for Fingerprinting is right there in Fairmont, West Virginia. There is just, it's the high tech corridor. There's a lot of, the FBI center is located right there. There's just a lot going on. So we've got access to that clientele of people there. It gives us another opportunity to reach 40,000 people. And so we're in the midst of a fundraiser. We have done very well. To God be the glory and raising the money for that. I mean, the folks in our area have given probably about $57,000 since January for the new station and then for the operating budget for the first 6 months of the WVGV. So we have just really been just praising the Lord for His goodness. I mean, we're just out in the middle of the country. Our town of West Union is only 800 people. Our county is a little over 8,000 people. And so we are, I mean, we are country bumpkins. I mean, we fell off the pumpkin wagon, but not yesterday. Amen. But just amazing. Those people have stepped forward and they have prayed for us and helped us in a wonderful way. Friends across the country. So we're just really excited about it. I hope that you'll take the time, if you have access to the internet, and log on to the website. It's real easy to find, WVGVradio.com. And once you go to the website, the music, the streaming automatically plays. You don't have to do it any other way. It just automatically comes on. If you want to listen to the station on your phone, you can download our app, whether it's iPhone or Android. And, man, what I've been doing when I'm around here, I just crank up my phone, pull up my app, hit the play button, and I put the auxiliary, the earphone into my auxiliary jack in the car, and I can listen to WVGV in the car headed down the road like I was in downtown West Union. But isn't that something about technology? I like that. I know y'all act like that's nothing around here, but, man, that's something to me. And radio, what a blessing. You know, it is a wonderful ministry. It gives us the opportunity to reach our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world all at the same time. I went onto the streaming page this morning to check it out. We had folks listening from Germany and the Dominican Republic. And they're hearing what folks are hearing in West Union right now. It's all real time. So, boy, we are very excited about it. Radio is a wonderful, wonderful ministry. Amen? And just the other day, I got an email from somebody in London requesting prayer on a certain need. So, man, it is just going out. And I just really, really enjoy it. Radio played a real big part in my dad's life. He worked at used to drive about 25 minutes to work downtown Dallas area, drove for a truck lines. And he listened to Oliver B. Green Monday through Friday going to work in the morning. And Oliver B. Green played a big part in my dad's, in his discipleship because he listened to him every day, Monday through Friday, listening to Oliver B. Green. So I just thank the Lord for the great, great opportunity. Amen. And it's good to be here with you this morning. I had a great time watching the teenagers. I was just praising the Lord that I wasn't in it. Man, those guys ran and ran and ran. I talked to a couple of them this morning. I said, "Are you sore?" And I knew if they said no, they'd be lying. Amen. Unless they played in the World Cup. I mean, they just were running. Those girls, they were hitting that volleyball every direction. I tried to tell them that way, over the net, girls, over the net. But good day yesterday. I feel like the Lord did some great things in the kids' hearts. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, take them with me and turn over to the Book of Concordance, please. That's always good when no pages turn. Amen. How about let's turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy and the third chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to begin reading with the very first verse here in this great book of 2 Timothy. And once you've found your place in the Bible, won't you join me standing as we read these particular verses here today? Wonderful to be saved, isn't it? Notice what he says, verse number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." You know, the Bible tells us in verse number 1, he's warning us, the prophet is warning us, the apostle is warning us. He says, in the last days. How many of you think, just by what's going on in the world, that we are in the last days of the last days? I mean, it's just, we just see it happening in Israel, happening in America. And the Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. So we don't have to guess. Folks, things are not going to get better. Now, the question is, what should our response be to it? I know there's a popular program that I hear people talk about called Doomsday Preppers. So I want to ask you a question. What do you think God's idea, what is God's design for us in these last days? Are we just to be survivors or are we to be thrivers? Does He want us to just survive in perilous times or does He want us to thrive in perilous times? I want to talk about that this morning. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer, shall we? Father, we come to You in the precious name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, for Your blessing upon the reading and preaching of Your Word. Help us today. All of us, Lord, we're in need and we need help. And we go so many, our minds go in so many directions when we think about these things. We worry about it. We get concerned and worry about our family, all these things. So help us to glean from the Word of God. Show us, Lord, not just how to survive, but how to thrive in perilous times. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for standing with me. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now we know, according to the Word of God, that the times, these last days, are going to be grievous, troublesome, and dangerous and weary for a lot of people. It is a description of a day. It is a description of times, a particular time that are going to be difficult and dangerous, trying and troublesome. Times when it will be difficult for a lot of Christians to keep their lives in order and kind of like a happy state in the world with a good conscience because of the abundance of evil men that should make these times so perilous. Look what he says. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then verse number 2 opens up with 4.
So he's saying the times are going to be perilous because, and then he begins to give this list here that some folks call the sins of the last days. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, I don't have to elaborate on that. You know how our culture, how our society is on that one. You can take it that men are just going to be in love with themselves, or in a very perverted sense. And whatever way you want to take it, it is becoming a dangerous time. Now, there is a very, very small percentage of people in America that choose that lifestyle, but they make a lot of noise. And they want to break our backs to receive it, to accept it. But folks, if we give in to that, when they want to get right with God and they want to get saved, there's no place for them to come if we have compromised. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. The Bible talks about covetous. Covetous means to be excessively eager to obtain and possess, directed primarily to money or goods. And we are living in a very covetous society today. Even our federal, our state, and even our local governments have become so covetous of the earnings of hard-working Americans like me and you. They want to take the money, the finances that we work so hard for, and they want to give them to a bunch of lazy bums that just don't want to work. Now, I don't think that there's anybody here that has a problem with helping people that are in need. But we do have a problem with redistribution of wealth. And the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Why? Because men are going to be lovers of their own selves. Because of this overabundance, over pressure of covetous. I mean, they literally want to just squeeze every ounce from us. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Why? The Bible says there are going to be boasters, people that boast or brag or vaunt as a show of pride, blasphemers, people who speak of God in impious and irreverent terms. And listen, if you have a steady diet of primetime TV, you are allowing a lot of God's name taken in vain to be pumped right into your home. The ears of your children, your wife, your family are having to hear all of that vulgar, slang, filthy talk. Show is getting quiet. Well, folks, if you get quiet, it's 30 minutes longer on the same point. So you've got to say amen, or we're going to be here way too long. Amen. And I might be the cause of burning Miss Jessica's roast here. We don't want that to happen. Amen. Covetous, boasters. The Bible talks about disobedient blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Look at me, boys and girls. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me, teenagers. Every time you're rebellious and you disobey your mom and dad, you're just proof that we're living in the last days. You young people, learn to obey your mom and dad. They love you. They have their best interest in you. Obey your parents. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. That, I believe, would apply to abortion. It is very unnatural for a mother to have a child aborted. Very unnatural for a father to try to coax and pressure his wife to murder, slaughter an unborn baby. Unnatural, without natural affection, truce breakers, one who violates a truce covenant or an engagement. You know that every one of our governors for the 50 states of the United States of America, when they take an oath as a governor, every single oath of every state has reference to God. But when was the last time your representative even made mention of God? He could even recognize that the government that they are in charge of, that we have elected them to represent us, had even understood that they are accountable to God, that they are not little gods, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. It means literally not restraining the passions or appetites, particularly the sexual appetite, indulging lust, without restraint or in violation of law, unchaste, lewd. Incontinent. With just absolutely no restraint whatsoever. Living like animals. No morals. It's everything that Hollywood promotes. It's everything that MTV promotes. It's everything that HBO promotes. It's everything, all of that, it promotes filthy, wretched, perverted, sinful behavior. Behavior that's an abomination unto God. Incontinent, fierce. It means to be violent, outrageous, not to be restrained. I remember not too long ago when some young men in Oklahoma, I believe in the Oklahoma City area, they just wanted to go on a killing spree. They murdered a foreign exchange student that was going to college there just because they got bored and they wanted to kill somebody. Or remember the teenagers that shot the veteran in California. Or remember the punk thugs in Chicago that shot a lady's knees, shot her knees out and shot her baby in the head lying in a stroller. I'm telling you, we're living in a violent world. And the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Listen, you better get your thinking straight. Things are not going to get better. But I'm telling you, God has instructions for us in His Word, not just to survive. Brother, we're not about just surviving, man. We're not just treading water. I'm telling you, I believe that God wants us to thrive in these perilous times. Amen. Fierce despisers of those that are good. You get a man like a Tim Tebow, at least he has a testimony that he's been born again. At least he wants to say something about God and about Christ and salvation. Oh, he may not dot every I and cross every T like we do, but nonetheless, I believe the man has a testimony of salvation and wants to speak the name of God. And Sports Central and ESPN, man, they don't want him to open his mouth about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you let some basketball player come out of the closet and let everybody know that he's a sodomite, and he'll get a phone call from the president. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. All I'm doing is giving you definitions from about these words in the Bible. You could have done the same thing. Traitor. Listen to this definition. One who violates his allegiance and betrays his country. One guilty of treason. One who in breach of that trust delivers his country to its enemy or any fort or place entrusted to his defense, or who surrenders an army or body of troops to the enemy unless when vanquished, or one who takes arms and levies war against his country, or one who aids an enemy in conquering his country. Boy, does that apply to what so many of our federal government leaders and even state leaders are doing today. They turned their backs on the Constitution. They turned their backs on God. They don't want us to say one word about Jesus Christ in our society today. But may I remind you that the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. God didn't say that they might be here. He said they shall come. And He says, and it's going to be difficult for a lot of people to make it to be spiritual. But I don't think He wants us just to survive in perilous times. I don't think He's telling us to dig bunkers, get a bunch of granola bars and eat sticks and be ready to pop anybody that wants a glass of water or something. Come on now, get your head screwed on straight. Brother, He wants us to thrive in these perilous times. Listen, I believe in being prepared, but also spiritually prepared. It's what our nation needs today. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And He gives us this list. The next in line, verse number 4, is the word heady. It means disposed to rush forward in an enterprise without thought or deliberation, hurried on by will or passion, ungovernable. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we see the example of headiness going on all the way back to, remember when Nancy Pelosi, former Speaker of the House, said, go ahead and sign the health care bill into law, the Affordable Health Care, and then you can read it after you sign it? What businessman would sign a document so important like that and then say, well, I'll take time to read it after I've signed it when it's become law? Headiness. High-minded. To be inflated with conceit, lifted up with pride. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse number 5 absolutely amazes me. Are you with me this morning? You folks sure are quiet now. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, in verse number 6 down to verse number 13, it gives us another example of how this is going to happen. Look at it. For this sort are they which creep into houses by way of television and Facebook, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Boy, isn't that amazing? Look at verse 10. Paul is giving a testimony of his own life. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. He's going to do the same for us. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Are you suffering persecution? They that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's what the Bible says. Let me read on here. Look at it. Verse number 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But he says in verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So it sounds to me like that things are going to get pretty rough. So what does the Lord expect us to do about it? What do we do? I mean, do we hide? What do we do about it? What do we do? How do we survive? Are we just to survive, or does He want us to survive? Well, I believe to survive or thrive in perilous times, we don't just need to rethink. We don't need to rethink our positions. We don't need to rewrite our history. We don't need to revise our Bibles. We don't need to reinvent our churches. We don't need to retire our convictions. We don't need to reconstruct our doctrine. God tells us what to do to thrive in perilous times, and He mentions it in verse number 14. Look at it. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Man, it's not a time to change things that we know that are right. It's not time to change things. Paul said to Timothy, things are going to get bad. And the way you react to it, the way you respond to it is you have got to continue in the things which thou hast learned. So let me ask you a question, friend. Are you learning anything? I tell you, I know Brother Angel, and I know you hear some good Bible preaching and Bible teaching on every family issue, all financial issues, everything about temptation, about living right, about godliness, about home life. Are you learning anything? Are you committing it to memory? Are you putting it to practice? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You know, my dad was a general contractor, and he always let me and my brothers use his tools, but he had one rule: put them back. And if we didn't put them back, he had a way of reminding us. I don't need to go there, amen. Brings too many painful memories to me. And I remember one day my brother Larry was messing around with one of my dad's drills. And my dad had a way of, he came in and saw us messing around with those tools, and he said to my brother Larry, and then to me too, he said, boys, you better respect that drill. And that was always his way. He would say, listen, you better respect that those tools. And he was saying, listen, use them what they're for, and those tools will hurt you. I mean, he had drills and things that would break your arm, man. It hurt you. where my brother was messing around with this drill, and somehow he got it too close to the bottom of his T-shirt. And the bit of that drill got tangled up in the T-shirt. And I'm telling you, in just like that quick, that drill wound up my brother's T-shirt and went all the way to his neck. Now, thank the Lord that the trigger lock wasn't on. And he released the trigger, and there he was. Little old red streak on his belly. That T-shirt, that drill up to his neck, wound up in his, you know, in that drill bit. Well, my dad heard the commotion, so he stepped out, and he looked at us, and he said to my brother, "Well, son, did you learn anything?" And I think Paul was saying to Timothy, "Are you learning anything? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." It's not time to change. It's not time to rethink our positions and start changing. Paul said, if you're going to thrive in perilous times, you have to continue in the things which thou hast learned. And you know what I have learned? I have learned that God hears the cries of His people. The Bible says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I'm telling you, we need to learn to pray about everything that we do. We need to pray. We need to pray. Pray about everything that we do. My daughter Angela, a couple of years ago, wanted to get a dog. Of all the dogs that she wanted to get, she got an old plot hound. Remember, I live in West Virginia. And I mean hounds, boy, they're just, I mean, they got a nose on them. And most of the time, she has to stay on a cable in the summertime because the campers. And then in the hunting season, she's about the color of a white-tailed deer, so she better stay on a cable. Somebody with bad eyes might shoot her. But boy, she's got a nose on her. And last summer, the kids had already gone home for camp. And somebody let Chevy, that's her name that Angela gave her, Chevy. And somebody let her off the cable. And man, that dog went, poof, she's in the woods running just everywhere like a crazy dog. Well, it was a full moon that night. Every critter in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountain Range was on the move. And I mean, listen, that dog was just all over those woods. And at about 2 o'clock in the morning, she must have baited an old coon up in a tree. And there she is, just barking up that tree. And it woke me up. Now, when it wakes me up, it's got to wake other people up too. I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I cannot believe it. Sound like it was right over by the boys' dorm. Now, there was nobody there, but staying there in the boys' dorm, but that's where it was. And I thought to myself, these people around here, they work way too hard for this old stupid dog to be barking like this. I got up and I woke Joel up. I said, "Joel, come on, son, get your boots and blue jeans on. We got to go hunt a dog down. Might be dying of lead poisoning tonight." You know what I mean? So we got our blue jeans on and boots, and I got the leash, and I started walking over, Joel and I, over where we was hearing that dog just howling, barking at that coon up in the tree. And when we came over a little crest of a hill, about maybe 150 yards from Chevy, she saw us and bolted, went up to the next flat. I said, oh my goodness, what in the world? I don't want to be chasing that dog all up and down these hills. Man, she's just crazy, just running all over the place. I said, come on up there, son. Let's go up there, son, see if we can find her up there. So we walked up there, and there's a nice little meadow up there. And boy, when we got up there, she saw us, and boom, she's to the next one. I said, son, I am not going up there. I don't know. She came back down, just running everywhere. I said, son, I don't know what to do, son. I said, there ain't no way we can catch her, son. Let's just pray, son. We just got to pray about this. So I bowed, and I wish Joel was with me here. I mean, he'd vouch it. I'm telling you the truth. I bowed my head, and I said, now, Lord, you know these people here at camp, they work hard. And their sleep is precious to them. And Lord, we can't catch that dog. So Lord, I need you to just tell that dog to come to me. I mean, Lord, I need you to tell her just to come right straight to me so we can go home. We need to get our rest. I thought about praying in Jesus' name or not. Amen. It opened up my eyes. And I tell you what, the Lord is my witness. That dog came out of the darkness from the woods, came onto that little meadow, and she walked right straight to me. I'm telling you, as straight as a string, right straight to me, and sat down and looked at me. I got the leash, put it on her collar. I looked at Joel. He's looking at me like... I said, come on, son, let's go home. Let's go to sleep. He said, okay, Dad. And went home. Now, you can say that's just coincidence. But if the Lord will answer a little simple prayer like that, what will He do in your life? The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, perilous times shall come. And how are you going to thrive? He says, continue in the things which thou hast learned. You know what I've learned? That compassion works. You know what I've learned? That knocking on doors, telling people about the love of Christ, it still works. Oh, I know, listen, it would be tempting to have a radio station and say, we're getting into homes, don't need a door knock. But God didn't tell us to have a radio station in the Word of God. I believe it's His will for it to do it, but He didn't tell us to play the radio and don't knock doors. Our command is to knock doors. And I'm telling you, folks, I know this day and age, everybody is criticizing us as Bible believers, but just keep on knocking on those doors. Keep on witnessing to people. Keep on showing them the love of Christ. Amen. Tell them about Jesus. Praise God. Give your testimony like I told the teenagers last night. Continue in the things which thou hast learned. You know what else I know works? Giving works. I know a lot of time when we face financial crunch, that, man, we're tempted to back up on our giving. But it's not time to back up on our giving. It's just continuing the things which thou hast learned. Amen. Oh, listen, God hears the cries of His people. Man, prayer works. I just heard an amazing story from a youth pastor earlier this summer here. Got saved in Chicagoland area, bus captain. Just after he got saved, he was responsible for leading him to the Lord and discipling him in the Lord. And he became an older Christian, and he just started swaying a little bit. There was a girl in his public high school that liked him and began to draw him aside. He started inviting him over her house. And I mean, he just said, I was just tempted and I started missing church. And he says, my bus captain knew where I was going, knew where I lived, knew where I was going to this girl's house. He said that he would park his car on the road that I walked to her house. And he said, I could hear his voice. I had to walk right by his car. I could hear him saying, oh, dear God, please, this young man, he's falling away, dear God. He says, I used to have to walk by that day after day after day, that bus captain of mine lived up, and I heard him calling my name. I knew what he was doing. He was right there. I had to walk right by him. But when I heard that story, I thought about a couple of boys in our church. I thought, good night, if I would have did that to those boys, maybe they wouldn't be where they're at today. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And then notice what he says secondly, and I need to move on here in the passage here. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. So not only do we need to continue in the things which we have learned, but we need to continue in the things that we're absolutely assured of. Amen. And I am assured that I'm saved, and I revel in it and enjoy being saved. Listen, I am assured of my calling. I know that God's called me to preach, and He's called me to be an evangelist, and there's nothing in the world that I would rather do. Amen. I'm assured of the commission that He has given each and every blood-washed, born-again believer, that we're to be witnesses. I am assured of my convictions. I know what my convictions are. They're in the Bible. Amen. Don't even try to change me. I know what I believe about ministry, about morality, about modesty. I know what I believe about media, about mate, about mankind. Don't try to change it. Know what you've been assured of. Because we get it from the Bible. I want you to see, thirdly here, he says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So God says, don't forget about the people that won you to Christ. Don't forget about the people that discipled you in the Lord. Don't forget about the people that witnessed to you and warned you and were willing to be patient with you and walk before you. We have the privilege to hear, to play Brother Lester Roloff on our radio station, 7:30 every morning, Eastern time. Man, I love to hear Brother Roloff. I get a lot of positive comments about him. I'm telling you, Brother Roloff is the only preacher I know that can preach against aspirins and get an amen. Amen? Listen, somebody told me about a sermon they heard him preach. He preached against using deodorant. He said, God didn't make you to pack all that plastic and all that junk under your pits. It's giving everybody cancer. And man, he just preached against that stuff. You know, your body was meant to sweat. This preacher said, I took a bunch of teenagers, and sure enough, all of my teenage boys went forward and gave up deodorant. I heard him on the radio myself. It's been a while back, where Brother Roloff was preaching against taking hot showers. Man, I turned the radio up. After I listened to it a little bit, I turned it down. Amen. Old Brother Roloff said, yeah, he said, you just cower to that flesh. You just give that flesh everything that it wants, everything that it wants to eat. You just lay under that hot shower like a walrus. He says, turn that hot water off. Turn that cold water up and make your body take it there. Man, I got so convicted, I turned it off. Amen. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, God has given us as Bible believers a rich heritage. Amen. Don't be the knucklehead that turns your back away from it. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then lastly, look what he says. This is powerful. Look at it. And I'm giving you right straight from the Scriptures here. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How do you thrive in perilous times? You continue in the things which you've learned and the things that you're assured of. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then lastly, he says you have to know the Holy Scriptures. Now, to know the Holy Scriptures, you have to believe that we have them. Amen. To know the Holy Scriptures, you have to believe that we have them, and we do. Inspired, preserved, infallible, and inerrant. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed by the word of God, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God lives and abides forever. It is inspired. Amen. It's inerrant. John 12:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It is preserved. The Bible says in Psalm 12:6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. Who's going to preserve them? Zondervan? No. Holman? No. World publishers? No. The Bible says, thou, God, thou shalt preserve them. Who's going to preserve them? Thou shalt preserve them, O Lord, forever. He said, purified as silver. Isn't it amazing? Do you know that silver is a natural antibiotic? It's a natural antibiotic. Listen, you can take silver as a supplement. You can take purified water with tiny little nanoparticles of silver in that water, and people will drink it as a natural antibiotic. It's called colloidal silver. You can use it in your eye for an eye infection, for your ear, for sinuses. Silver is a natural antibiotic. Have you ever wondered why we call things, eating utensils, we call them silverware? Because the old timers, they knew that they wanted it to be made out of silver, because when you used it, you would get a small content of silver as you were eating. The pioneers coming from the east going to the west used to say, throw a silver dollar in a jug of milk and it'll keep it from spoiling longer. Because silver is a natural antibiotic. When babies are born in America, you know what the doctors and nurses do when they're first born? They put an ointment in their eyes. You know what it's called? Silver nitrate. It is an ointment that has nanoparticles of silver in the ointment there instantly to fight off any bacteria, any kind of an infection in the eye. And God said the words of the Lord are purified as silver. Do you know that God is going to make sure that there is no corruption in His Word? He promised that He would. The words of the Lord liveth and abideth forever. How are we going to survive in perilous times? We're going to have to know the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You may be here this morning and you may not know Christ and the free pardon of sin. You may not know heaven is your eternal home. You may not know for sure that heaven is your home when you perish, when you leave this earth. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that this word here, He says, and thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The reason why any one of us can testify, we know that we've been redeemed. We know that heaven is our eternal home. When they close the casket and put us in the ground, our families are going to know that we're in heaven. Because the Bible tells me so. And from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Listen to these verses as I close it this morning here. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. Speaking about the Bible. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Can you hear the poetry in these words here? It's absolutely amazing. He says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. You wouldn't leave a gold bar sitting on the dash of your truck. You wouldn't throw a gold bar down somewhere. You wouldn't leave a gold bar in your pew. The Bible says more to be desired, talking about the Word of God, more to be desired are they than gold. Oh, I see them all the time get on an airplane, businessmen, and they'll buy a Wall Street Journal and they'll go over to the NASDAQ, the Dow Jones, and boy, checking out their stocks. And I'm not against that. But the Bible said the Word of God is more to be desired are they than gold. Check your heart out. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And then he says, sweeter also than honey. We got any honey lovers here? Man, I love honey. I like to taste all the different kinds. We have a couple of bee growers right on the road that I live on. Man, it's delicious. I've had light honey, dark honey. Every now and then when Kim's not watching, I'll stick a whole teaspoon in that honey and just, it tastes so good. I remember making tea for Brother Boyd. He liked lemon lip tea with a lot of honey. I like it too. God said, you know how you're going to survive and not just survive but thrive in perilous times? You have to know the Holy Scriptures. Read them for yourself. Read them to your wife. Read them to the children. Make it a part of your home. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Amen. I don't think God wants us just to survive, just to make it. He wants us to thrive. We need to be preppers. But most of all, we need to be spiritually prepared. I believe probably some of the greatest days for ministry are yet to come. That's why I'm so excited to have a radio station. I'm telling you, I believe the greatest days for witnessing and for real ministry comes, man, when we see this persecution coming down. Amen. What happens if we die? We get to go to heaven. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, listen, how to thrive in perilous times. Continuing what you've learned and what you're assured of. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Boy, isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord, glory to God. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a couple of questions as we prepare for an invitation this morning. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder how many of you this morning could say, Brother Oliver, I'm saved and I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I can go back to a time and place where I know that I truly got born again. Hold your hand up as a testimony. If you're happy to be saved this morning, how about a good hearty amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder who would be here this morning. You'd say, Preacher, would you have prayer for me? I couldn't raise my hand. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I want to get it settled. I want to be able to know for sure that heaven is my home. Pray for me. I know these are perilous times. And I need to take care of this first issue, my salvation. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand up right now and let me have a prayer for you? Anybody like that this morning? Pray for me. I just don't know for sure. And boy, I sure need to get it settled in my heart. Anybody like that this morning? Lift your hand up real high. And I want to pray for you. All right, there's a little boy back there. God bless you, son. Thank you so much. Now, here's what I want you to do, young man. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, why don't you have an adult bring you up here to the front. Brother Bragg is right here. He'll pair you up with somebody that'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're able to, slip on out right now and come up here and meet Brother Bragg. Let's let this young man out here. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Anybody else, preacher, pray for me too. I just don't know for sure, but I sure want to get it settled. Anybody else, lift your hand up real high and let me pray for you. All right, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there anybody here that said, Preacher, pray for me. I've been saved, but I've never followed Christ in believer's baptism, and I know that I need to get baptized as soon as possible and make Jesus happy. Anybody like that, lift your hand up real high and let me pray for you. God bless you. There's one. Anybody else? Make sure that I see your hand. Anybody else? All right, there's another young man. God bless you. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, these that raise your hand, would you lift your head up and look at me for just a minute? Look at me. God bless you. Listen, would you be so kind to slip to the aisle and let Brother Bragg pray with you? He or somebody will tell you what you need to do to make Jesus happy. Slip on out right now. Come on right now. God bless you. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Amen. Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder whether there'd be somebody here this morning say, Preacher, I've been saved and baptized, but I'm not in church, and I know that I need to get my family back in church. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that this morning? Anybody like that? All right. Now, when I give the invitation, well, if that's your desire, come and let one of these men have prayer with you. Now, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder how many God's people you'd say, Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to just survive, but I want to thrive. But I need prayer because I know that my prayer life isn't what it needs to be. God has spoken to my heart. I need to do better at my prayer life. I need to do so much better. And boy, God has spoken to my heart this morning. Could I pray for you? Lift your hand right now. God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Others would say, Preacher, pray for me. I need to be so much more of a bold witness. I need to be a bold witness for Christ. I need to be so much better. I want to be better. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Could I see your hand? Lift it up real high. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. 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 We got to continue in the things which thou hast learned. I wonder how many of you say, Brother Oliver, God spoke to my heart. I know that I just need, number one, I just need to learn it. I need to learn it. I need to put it to practice in my life. And I just don't need to change. So many times I'm tempted to change things that I know is in the Bible that I'm supposed to believe. But just because my peers and my family, they are tempting me and just pushing me about these things. And boy, God spoke to my heart that I just need to continue in the things that I know to be true. Could I see your hand? Would you let me have a prayer for you? Lift it up real high. Amen. Amen. Good, good, good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, there are many other questions I could ask, but I don't feel like that's what the Lord wants right now. You know, please, don't make me ask the question that prompts a response. You know what God spoke to your heart about. Why don't you respond to Him? I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing on this invitation. As soon as I say amen, we're going to have the instruments to play for us. And if the Lord has touched your heart in any way, won't you humble yourself and come to this old-fashioned altar and get it right with God? Our Father, we come to You so thankful in our hearts for Your love for us. We pray now, Lord, for Your blessing upon this invitation. Lord, I believe this message is so vital for us in these last days of these last days to be all that we need to be for our family, our friends, our towns, our co-workers. Lord, to have that spiritual preparedness for these dangerous days ahead. Lord, help us to be thrivers, not just survivors. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As the instruments plays and God spoke to your heart, won't you come this morning and find the place here and commit it to God. Determine you're not going to just survive, you're going to be a thriver. Amen. Thriving in these days for the glory of God.